Let's please turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9. Last week we saw visions 6, 7, and of 8, and the flying scroll, judgment coming because of sin, and the vision of the ephod baskets and wickedness being taken to Babylon, and that we saw really as being a end times vision. You know, again, Zechariah would prophesy to his time, his day, his people, and then all of a sudden he's saying things that can only apply to a time future to us. And I think we're going to see that here today too. We're going to see the last vision and then other insights from Zechariah. So in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9, a review of the last few verses of last week. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between the earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they carrying the basket?" And he said to me, "To build a house for it in the land of Shinar, where when it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." Shinar being Babylon. And so wickedness of a final commercial system is what it really appears that Zechariah is prophesying, going along with Revelation, the last day's judgment in Revelation, that there is going to be a mystery Babylon, a Babylon of a commercial system that's going to be destroyed, that people will be standing afar off when they see it burning with fire, and somehow there's going to be a total wicked, commercialized kingdom of the Antichrist that is going to be judged by God, and it's going to be in a place, Shinar, Babylon, which is kind of ironic. We said some people say it's spiritual, and it could be New York or wherever else. Whatever it does, it has to fulfill all the requirements specified in Revelation about Babylon. I don't think New York fits. People say it's New York because that's a commercial center. Well, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit everything the Bible says, so that can't be it. And others say, well, how could Babylon over in Iraq ever be rebuilt to do this? I don't know. I don't know how it could. But if that's what it says and that's what it really means, that's what's going to happen. Because we just know that. The Bible always comes true. And people say, wow, if we would have just stood on what the Word of God said. And right now they're fighting over Babylon. They're just fighting over there over that same piece of ground. Shiites against Sunni. Don't know how it's going to turn out. But actually, I think the fact that Iran is starting to move in and take control is prepping for Ezekiel 38:39. Because if Ezekiel 38:39 has Persia, Iran, coming with a horde of their soldiers, along with a horde from Russia, along with a horde from Turkey, along with a horde from Libya and Ethiopia / Sudan, if all those hordes of armies are coming to Israel, the Persian and Russian ones are going to have to go through Iraq. That's how you would get there to Israel. And, you know, they're not going to just pile a bunch of soldiers in the water, you know, on boats and take the water route. The land route is up through Iraq. And so, you know, years ago, in talking about what was happening in the Lebanon War, I said, you know, the Lebanon War, the coming war, could set the stage for Ezekiel 38:39, meaning that what we're hoping to accomplish in Iraq is probably not going to work. Because if we're going to be there, we'd have to say, oh, come on, Iran, go attack Israel. Or we're not there in any kind of influence because that's how they have to come. And so what seemed like so impossible during the, you know, we have achieved victory days, you know, the war is over, we won. Well, it looked like we'd be there and the West would be there, but funny how things changed and start to line up with what could someday be actually a stepping stone to the fulfillment of biblical prophecies in ways that people could not have foreseen even months ago. But see, God, he stands up. He's already seen all of it happen. It doesn't surprise you. He breathes it to the prophets so that we can know that what the prophets are saying came from the all-seeing, all-powerful, all-knowing. There is no history. There's just the eternal now for him. He tells us it's all done. It doesn't matter what we think about what the situation is going to be. He's already seen it happen. He's already seen the book of Revelation happen. He's already seen the Armageddon. He knows how it ends. And he sees everything. And he's showing Zechariah some of these things too. Chapter 6, verse 1, the eighth and final vision of Zechariah. "Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of bronze." Usually bronze is symbolic of judgment. It does seem like this little vision is dealing with judgment. Verse 2, with the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot, black horses, with the third chariot, white horses, and with the fourth chariot, dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said to me, these are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. And so, we know from Scripture, turn to Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, because there are four living creatures at the throne of God, talked about in Ezekiel and talked about in Revelation. And there's these four spirits, which are chariots that come with these horses. And we're going to see that it's for judgment. And I'll just read while you're turning to Revelation 6:1. You might also want to go to Ezekiel chapter 1 sometime and read. In fact, through the Bible reading, I'm in Ezekiel now, just read this. In my mind, I'm trying to lock down these creatures that people talk about it being UFOs. The UFO people will say that Ezekiel first chapters are dealing with UFOs. But this is what it says in Ezekiel 1:5. I know you're not there. But also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and their soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. I hope that just whets your appetite to go read it. We're going to be seeing these guys. We don't want to go, whoa, what are they? We want to get there and go, oh, living creatures. And what you get when you read it carefully is you have a four-sided living creature, a different face on each side, their feet going down with calves' feet. These wings that cover them or fly out. And whenever they're moving, if I want to go that way, that living creature goes that way. And everybody else is going along, like the guy behind there, he has to go backwards. The guy over here, he has to go sideways. And they just kind of move around that way. And then there's these chariot wheel kind of things at each of the four corners. And when they move it, they all move together. And so I don't think it's like flying saucers or anything, but Ezekiel saw these guys. That's how they move. That's what's there. That's what's in heaven. And these are what we're seeing here in chapter 6 are other creatures, things that are at the throne of God doing the will of God. And what is the will of God? Revelation 6:1. We'll see, it's judgment. They are used by God when God says, I'm not going to use the demons to judge. I'm going to use you guys to judge. These are good angels, good beings in front of the throne of God. Now, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and went out conquering to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. So now at the throne of God, the Ezekiel chapter 1, living creature on one corner does something, a horse goes out. Second one, a horse goes out. Then the four horses of the apocalypse, all sent by the living creatures that are part of the throne of God. Revelation 15:7, turn there. And again, these are just some examples. We could go on, spend a lot of time on all of this, but I just want to kind of give you scripture to interpret scripture. Revelation 15:7. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels. There's seven angels that were there standing by for the judgment on the earth. Gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. So again, a living creature giving to one of the seven angels with seven plagues of the bowls of the wrath of God. And so whenever anybody tells you, if there was a God, he would have dealt with the fact that, somebody murdered my father, mother, or brother, sister, did this, did that. No, no. What happened when God saw that, when he saw the shedding of the innocent blood of millions of babies in America, all the girls that have been violated in the name of porn, all the boys that have been violated in the name of the homosexual movement, all the stuff, he just sits there and he goes, he just puts in another grain. of the bowl of wrath. And it's storing up for the day of wrath. But right now, he sits there, I'm being merciful. I'm allowing people to decide what they want to do, whether they want to have life and everlasting in Jesus, whether they realize that, whether they're sick of this world, sick of the sin and the rebellion, the destruction and the hatred that's going on. And when they do, they say, I hate this world. I want something. There's got to be something. They draw near to me. I draw near to them. I'll show them Jesus. They'll have everlasting life. And when this decrepit world has finally reached the point where no more mercy, then I'm going to get Revelation going. And my four living creatures are going to be there handing to the horsemen of the apocalypse. And 1/4 of the world is going to be judged. And I'm going to have angels that they're going to be given the bowls of the wrath that's been stored up for all these years. And they're going to go down on the earth and there's going to be wrath. Going back to Zechariah 6:5. We need to tell people that. They say that there is no God because he would have judged. No, he's a merciful God waiting for them to humble themselves instead of judging God on their own standards and humble themselves, believe in Jesus so they can have life. And the angel answered and said to me, these are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. And maybe there's four living spirits along with the four living beings. You know, it's hard to know till we get there. Verse 6. The one with the black horses is going to the north country, and white are going after them, and the dappled are going towards the south country. Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, go, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, see, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country. Why? Because they've executed judgment there. And again, there's people that will say this applied to the time of Zechariah. Others that think that it's going to be part of the judgment of God during the tribulation period of dealing with the north. People coming from the north. Again, anything that comes against Israel is coming from the north. Because you have to go up the Mesopotamian Valley, come north. You can't go across the desert. And so like Babylon, when Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon was coming to destroy Jerusalem from the north, even though Babylon, Baghdad, is technically to the east, but the prophets would say from the north. Verse 9, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, receive the gift from the captives, from Heldai, Tobiah, Yediah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, and take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Yahshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So, okay, God is saying, here's a vision. There's going to be judgment to the north. I'm saying that there's going to be judgment and there's going to be quiet. Well, the Lord did protect the Jews as they're rebuilding in the days of Zechariah, and the priesthood was reestablished. And he's saying, okay, go ahead and do this. We've already dealt with the priesthood and how Joshua the high priest was made clean. We saw that earlier. Restoring the priesthood. But then, verse 12 says, then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So again, Zechariah is prophesying, building the temple. He sees the final vision of God protecting the nation of Israel at some point by protecting him from the north, and then it goes to the priesthood. We're reestablishing the priesthood. The temple is already in the throes of being rebuilt under the leadership of Zechariah the prophet and Zerubbabel, the royal line that's there under orders from Persia to be able to go ahead and build the temple. And then, okay, let's restore the priesthood, but God's saying, but I have another priest coming. Who's the branch? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. I don't want to just tell you it's Jesus. You're going to see it prophesied by Isaiah. The branch, and the reason why the translators capitalize it, is because it is another name for the Jewish Messiah, who we have come to understand because we're in the New Covenant. You know, this is Old Covenant terminology. It's what the Jews were allowed to see, is that God was calling them the branch. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a rod, and a rod was a symbol of power and strength. A rod from the stem of Jesse, meaning it would be a descendant of Jesse. Who was Jesse? Jesse was King David's father. And so there's going to be a descendant downstream of David, downstream of Jesse, and meaning David, because they'd call David the son of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He, capitalized in your translation, because it's Jesus, shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Now, who strikes the earth in judgment? God does. So, but who's striking the earth here? The branch, who is the righteousness of God. And how does he strike the earth? With the word of his mouth. What does the Bible say when Jesus returns with his mouth? A sword comes out of his mouth and destroys the armies of the Antichrist in one flash of a moment. This is actually, Isaiah is prophesying about the last days when Jesus returns. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So when Zechariah says, okay, bring the priest here and take silver and gold and make an elaborate crown, set it on the head of this earthly priest. But let me tell you, there's one replacing him. He's called the branch. Jeremiah 23:5. Let's go one more time, because Isaiah, Jeremiah, two major prophets of Israel. There's other places where the branch is used. Behold, the days are coming, Jeremiah 23:5, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by whom he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So, again, Bible interpreting the Bible. Branch means the Jewish Messiah, which we know means Jesus. Back to Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. You know, after giving this elaborate crown to Yeshua, then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place, where's his place? Throne to God. He shall branch out to where? To earth. You know, he's branched out. He's left heaven to be on earth, that we might know the way to get to heaven. He shall build a temple. Who's going to build a temple, Lord? Zechariah has got the Jewish people starting to rebuild the temple. And here's the earthly priesthood. And then he goes, but there's going to be another priest, and he's going to build a temple. And we know from Hebrews, who's that temple? It's not a temple with rocks. It's a temple of every soul on this planet that is trusting and believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior for the last 2,000 years. And you know what? I think that if we could get a spiritual view of that spiritual temple, we'd see that, man, Jesus, are you done? No, just a few more blocks. Just a few more of these stones left to put, and then the temple I have planned is done. And then we get to go home. And then the world's going to have their last little heyday where they want God to be gone. Yes, he shall build a temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. Who? Jesus. He's going to sit and rule in Jerusalem as the returned Jewish Messiah to rule for 1,000 years, according to the new covenant. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Then verse 14, and Hebrews 3:5, by the way, says that we are the temple. Verse 14, now the elaborate crown shall be for a memorial in the temple of the Lord, for Helem, Tobiah, Yediah, and Hen, and the son of Zephaniah. Even those who are far away shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. They will come even from far away. Even those who are far away shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Who's that? Again, who's coming from far? We're pretty far away. And in a way, we're building. See, even when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody, in a sense, what are we doing? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. Jesus is inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, building his temple. And even people far away are going to be building to the church, allowing people to come to saving knowledge. And it's going to come to pass if we diligently obey the voice of the Lord our God. Chapter 7, verse 1. So in summary there, we see Zechariah talking near, hey, you earthly priest, and then far. Jesus is the priest that's going to be reigning on his throne, yet future to us. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now, in the fourth year of King Darius, or Darius, some say it either way, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month of Chislev, which is around December, our time, when the people sent Sherezer and Regemmelech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord. And you know, if you have a translation there, they'll usually have a little asterisk. It could be from the house of God, meaning Bethel, from the city of Bethel, is probably what he was saying. So the Bethel people, some people from Bethel are coming to pray before the Lord. Why? Because the temple is halfway to being rebuilt. We know from the fourth year of King Darius that it was the second year of King Darius that Zechariah started prophesying, build the temple. It was in the sixth year of Darius' reign that the temple was completed. And so it's half done. So we know from this the temple is half done, and some people apparently from Bethel are coming to ask this question, to pray before the Lord, and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Now, if you look through the law of Moses and the Levitical law, there's not really anything going on in the fifth month. So why are they weeping and fasting on the fifth month? Well, that's actually the month, according to 2 Kings chapter 25 and Jeremiah 25:13, what you have in the fifth month is that's when Nebuchadnezzar and his army came and burned Jerusalem. So for 70 years, the people, the stragglers in the land, kept on weeping over the fact that Jerusalem is destroyed. Fasting. Will we ever see Jerusalem again? Isn't this terrible? Every year. So what I think is happening is that these people from Bethel are aware that the temple is about to be rebuilt. Priesthood is being reestablished. Animal sacrifice is going to be going again. Things are looking good. The nation's about to be restored. Should we keep fasting? Should we keep wailing? Because look, we're almost ready to worship again. Should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? And again, 2 Kings 25:8 and 52:13, you see that that was when Nebuchadnezzar burned the city down. And it looks like Jeremiah says that they were doing this fasting and praying on the 10th day. And Kings says that it was the 7th day, and it was because it took that many days for him to burn the city down and burn and destroy the temple. And so on did the beginning. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me. And so the seventh month, it was because that's when, we know from 2 Kings 25, that's when Gedaliah was assassinated. See, when Nebuchadnezzar came, he destroyed the city, killed almost all the Jews. He took all the able-bodied Jews that he didn't kill because they were able-bodied soldiers. Everybody that was an able-bodied soldier, they died. Everybody that was able-bodied to walk to Babylon with hooks in their jaws, they went to Babylon. Only tens of thousands of them. And then the weak and the beggarly and everything, he left behind. And then he put a man, Gedaliah, who was a good, godly man. They put him in charge. And Jeremiah was offered to by Nebuchadnezzar, you can come to Babylon, you're an old man, we'll take care of you, you'll eat at the king's table, you'll be fine. Jeremiah says, no, there's hope. You put Gedaliah here, I'm going to stay here with the people. But one of the royal line who thought that Gedaliah had become a treasonous to the nation of Israel by letting Babylon tell him he could rule, one of the royal line came and assassinated him. And then the people that were left behind, then they're really in agony. Now Babylon's going to come and finish all us off because we killed, not only did we assassinate Babylon's man that he left, Jewish man, but they also killed all the Babylonian soldiers that were with him. And so they went in a big tizzy about that. So they're mourning and wailing over, look at what has happened to us. And we're fasting and praying. And so they're saying, should we keep doing that? Because it's looking up. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land, to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you guys agonize over what's happened to America, look at how the socialist communist agenda is sweeping through the land and lawlessness, are you really just agonizing to me? Or because your lives are getting messed with? Because you can't just go do whatever you want to do anymore. Because, you know, things are happening. You're losing your freedoms. Have you really grieved over all the sin and the stench of rebellion against my law that's sweeping into heaven that's caused me to give you what you've got? That's setting the all. And it's not just you, America. It's the stench of this whole world and the sex slavery and the destruction and the hatred and the mocking of my Jesus. And, you know, God is saying, you guys are mocking and everything else. And now you're all bothered that in parts of the world you can't eat food. The dollar is going to collapse. The finance, are you really weeping because of all that? Because are you recognizing it's because of sin or because your life's being messed with? That's really what God is saying. They fasted for religious self-worship. And you can see that in Isaiah 58. Put in your notes there. Just go read Isaiah 58. When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourself? When you eat and drink, you're just doing it for yourself. You're taking care of yourself. When you fast, you're really doing it for yourself too. You're not doing it for me. Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous and the south and the lowland were inhabited? Really? Shouldn't you just have obeyed? Then you're not having to weep. 1 Samuel chapter 15, it's better to obey than sacrifice. When Saul said, hey, Samuel said, what's this bleeding of the sheep? Oh, you know, I decided to disobey God and keep some of the good stuff. And Samuel said to Saul, "What? It's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's for all of us, what God would be telling us, don't go to church if you just got a stinky life. 6 days of the week. Go get right. Go clean up your sin. Stop rebelling. Don't come in and play religion. Don't say, oh, I read my Bible today and then I'll smoke some cocaine. smoke some meth. Do some heroin. Get baptized and do some heroin. Whatever else. I mean, just all over the world, just crazy. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy, compassion, everyone to his brother. What have we already read? In Azariah, Nehemiah, and soon Malachi. They were selling each other into slavery, dumping their wives for foreign women. And what God says, you're weeping because you got problems. And why don't you do what my law says to do? Do not oppress the widow and the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother, or as Malachi would say, against your wife. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Go read Jeremiah and Isaiah. Read how they didn't want to hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. You want to weep? You want to fast? Do it because you sinned. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine today. He just got told and informed that up in the North Kitsap County School Board, they just passed, behind the scenes, no parental input or no discussion, that all bathrooms in North Kitsap School District are now gay, lesbian friendly, transgender friendly. So, every child that goes to school up in North Kitsap, you know, your girl is in the bathroom, in walks a boy. What are you doing in the girl's bathroom? Well, today I feel like a girl. And nobody can do a thing about it. You do anything about it, you're going to be in trouble for not being gay, lesbian, transgender favorable. And nobody knew about it. And so my pastor friend, we were talking about it today. He just got told and informed on a meeting that he was at. They got pulled aside as pastors. We have to do something. We have to go to the board. We have to tell them what's going on. I wonder what kind of success you're going to be able to have, but we do have to do that. We have to be salt and light. God tells us to be salt and light. And we could sit there and we could almost, if they let us say anything about the scripture, there will be hell to pay. There will be judgment. You will be weeping and wailing because the God of the universe sees this kind of garbage that's going on here. In fact, in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking when you see one of the female school board people that passed this law on our children going into the bathroom, yeah, maybe I'll go in. Get out of my bathroom. Oh, no. Today I feel like a girl. I'll just watch what you're doing in here. Does that feel sick to you? Well, why do you want to make it sick to my children? Why do you want to pervert everything that is supposed to be holy and that we can't even figure out whether God created us male and female and keep it that way? Do we have to go the way of the homosexual agenda just because the president has made it mission number one? May God help us. There is weeping and wailing coming. How could this have happened? And the answer is because the church doesn't teach the fear of God. It doesn't teach holiness. It's not teaching. And the world doesn't want to hear it. Just like Jeremiah's day, even when we do, they don't want to hear it. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord, and it's coming to America. Another article today, people are already, they're being arrested without due process for posting Facebook rejection of the current administration's policies. And actually, did you know that you are all probably definable as having a mental disorder? You are going to be called an oppositional defiance disorder. You guys probably all have ODD, because when the school board makes a decision like that, you probably don't like it. And so you have an oppositional defiance disorder. And so this one former vet, he communicated some stuff, a 26-year-old decorated Marine, Brandon Robb, who was targeted because his Facebook post because of his Facebook post, he was interrogated by government agents about his views on government corruption, arrested with no warning, labeled mentally ill for subscribing to so-called conspiratorial views about the government, detained against his will in a psych ward for standing by his views, and isolated from his family, friends, and attorney is a prime example. So they're rounding people up for a Facebook post. And they say, you know, you're kind of conspiratorial. You think that the socialist communist agenda has taken over the country. Well, yeah, I do. Well, then now you, your own mouth has made you confess that you're psychotic. Can I see my lawyer? No, because you're by the Congress passing this enemy of the state kind of law, you're now an enemy of the state. You don't have constitutional rights. You can be detained indefinitely and kept here for our shrinks to make you feel happy with whatever it takes to get you to morph. When we weep and we wail, what will happen? What will we know? What will we as Christians know when the weeping and the wailing starts? It's because of our sin. And if we're going to fast and pray, let's do it because, God, we want to fast and pray that it would not be my sin that's going into the bowl of wrath that's being poured out on this world. That it wouldn't be my sin that is causing people to think that we're all a bunch of hypocrites. That it wouldn't be my sin that's distracting me from the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the few before the total gauntlet and the chopping block happens of the wrath of God coming on this earth. Therefore, it has happened, verse 13, that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Read Jeremiah 14, and you'll see the Lord said to Jeremiah, don't pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Because they're doing it religious. They're going to church, but they don't care. They care nothing about what my law says. They rip each other off and do whatever. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. They, who's they? The sinful, rebellious nation of Israel, they made it desolate. And could America turn desolate? Yes, and America could. We're not prophetic. We don't have Jeremiah's, Isaiah sitting around warning us because we're not the promised people of God. But God's wrath is not, it's not just limited to his promised people. We know that because he used his promised people to wipe out the Canaanites because of their sinfulness. And we do have to start standing up, being salt and light, as well as evangelizing and telling people about Jesus. And I'm going to tell my friend, we're meeting with my two other past friends, Maya, meeting on Friday. How can we help out? We're South Kitsap. It's going to come to us, too. It's sweeping everywhere. I don't know what we're going to do. The people want it. Jeremiah chapter 5. A terrible thing has happened. The priests ruled by their own power. The prophets prophesied falsely. And the people love to have it so. It's that last one that becomes really difficult because until the people change, the judgment is inevitable. So anyway, there is a happy ending. Last two chapters of the Bible ends really well. The people who love him and are disgusted with the way things are going, we're going to get marked. Just like Ezekiel, we get marked because our hearts grieve over the things that we see. And that mark is a mark of preservation. It's really, we're sealed by the blood of Jesus and we're going to go to heaven to be with him. Father, we thank you for your word. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to not be hypocrites. That you would help us to grieve and agonize over the rebelliousness of our fellow man. And women who do not realize the grief that will be coming when the mercy and the long-suffering of God, of your long-suffering, reaches that point, Lord, where the world is truly thrown into a time of tribulation that it's never seen. God, help us to walk in the light as you're in the light and to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit and ministering to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and worship God.
Lift up your name
with our hearts filled with praise.
With our hearts. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Amen. Hosanna. Praise be to God. He's exalted. Coming soon. May the Lord comfort you and bless you with that presence of the Holy Spirit that can get us through these days. Amen. God bless.